Hello and welcome to the AFC Dons cast from the Inverness Reds. It's Graham McKay here with your weekly Dons news roundup on Sunday, the 28th of April, 2024. Straight into it then, and the first of our post-split fixtures was against Motherwell at home. The Red TV matchday team of Jamie Lyle and AFC Women's manager Clint Lancaster previewed the match, and Jamie spoke to Peter Leaven before the game.
Well, a very warm welcome back to a sunny Pittodrie after the pulsating Scottish Cup semi-final at Hampden against Celtic. The Dons are back in cinch Premiership action today, and it is Motherwell who are making the long trip north from the Central Belt to take on Peter Leaven's side this afternoon. Three precious Premiership points on the line for both teams, and it's great to have the company of the AFC Women's manager Clint Lancaster in our studio for this one. Clint, after such a big game, a game that's taken a lot emotionally, physically out of the players, what have been the key challenges and messages for Peter Leaven looking ahead to the return to league action?
I think it would have been more of the same, because we played really, really well. And we were just unlucky, and it's a lottery, isn't it, penalties. But we played some good stuff, and I think we've, if we play like that, there's no reason why we can't get 3 points today and have a good performance. So I think the message is we should continue where we left off.
One change to Peter Leaven's starting 11, Junior Hoylett, who set up the goals for Sokoler and for McDonald that forced that crazy ending with the penalty shootout, had a penalty shout turned down, missed a couple of chances, and generally brought a lot of impetus off the bench. He comes in for Duke in those attacking areas. Is that a smart change for you? Is that a reward for how well he's played?
I think you can pick either one of those to play in that position, to be honest with you. I think what Junior did really well against Celtic was he caused the fullbacks problems, and his deliveries were brilliant into the box, and obviously we got a goal from it. So I can understand the decision to go with Junior today. It makes sense. So it's a good move on my part.
Yeah, for sure. It is a big day for those Aberdeen players, and a big day as well for interim boss Peter Leaven as he prepares for the first of these five post-split fixtures. He got up with me on Red TV a little earlier.
Peter, a crazy game, a mental sequence of events down at Hampden last weekend. How do you prepare the players tactically and emotionally to get back up for this one?
I think they should be up for it. It's the league's our bread and butter. We're in a situation we don't want to be in. But you've seen the performance last week, and I just said to them there as they came in, I said, you've set that standard, so you must maintain that.
How do you go about maintaining that? Because consistency is something that has eluded Aberdeen for chunks of this season.
I think I've done well since I've come in. Five or six games that I've took over, they've always given me everything on the pitch, you know, the standards that I want, and I drive it every day. So listen, there'll be no slacking on our behalf today.
A solitary change today. Junior Hoylett comes in for Duke, an attack. Is that a reward for his performance, the goals he created, the threat that he carried when he came off the bench on the weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Just I felt a little bit freshen up as well. But you've seen his quality with the two assists, and obviously he had a chance as well, and the way he carries the ball for us. And in the last game at home as well, he set up Boyan for his goal and stuff. So he's got that end product as well.
How have you managed the load of the players this week? I guess you have to balance rewarding positive performances, the likes of Junior coming into the team, with being sensitive to the amount of running, the amount of ground that some of these boys covered last weekend.
Yeah, we had to come up a little bit, but we've got a great medical team, sports science team, and I lean on them a lot in these situations. But the boys are in a good place, and hopefully they'll be fired up today.
How important is this game? Not completely clear of that second bottom place, obviously trying to finish up the league as high as possible. How important is a game like this against Motherwell, who are fighting for the same goal as you at this point?
Every game's important. As I said, Aberdeen Football Club, we must want every game, especially at home. But listen, we can't get hyped up in that. The boys need to play their football, be relaxed, but still have that fight and desire to win the game.
We sometimes overlook the human aspect of being a football coach and a football manager. Comes with a lot of pressure. How have you found the past few weeks being in the top job again, having another bite at the cherry, taking the team in huge games, particularly the emotional rollercoaster of Hampden? How have you been in amongst it all?
Loved it. Enjoyed every minute of it. As I said, I've always stepped up and I've asked. So, and I've got the response from the boys, and last week just was great to see the fans and the players give everything, and we need that for the next five games.
I really appreciate your time, Tom. Man, good luck.
Cheers.
The pre-match thoughts there of the Aberdeen interim boss, Peter Leaven. I was interested in his answer, Clint, to that last question. That probably sounded a bit like I was trying to psychoanalyse the Aberdeen interim manager, but I was intrigued by the human aspect of being a football coach. What will he have been going through? Massive opportunity, but massive pressure as well on his shoulders the past few weeks.
Yeah, I think the one thing that that Peter's done really, really well is he's kept the group together under a lot of change. Obviously, two managerial changes this season. The players at times maybe don't know whether they're coming or going with whoever the manager is in charge. So I think what he's done is he's stabilised the group. You know, they like playing for him. You can see that. The atmosphere at the training ground is brilliant. And it's been proven in the results and the performances so far. So, you know, look, long may that continue while he's in interim charge.
Okay, great stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Clint. We'll be live with full commentary, full coverage of Aberdeen's first post-split cinch Premiership fixture against Motherwell here on Red TV. Do join us from 2:45 p.m. We'll see you there.
The mission for the next five games is simple. Get the points and avoid a relegation fight. And that started yesterday in a thrilling encounter at Pittodrie. Aberdeen eased their relegation worries with a narrow 1-0 win against 10-man Motherwell. Stephen Carterman scored the only goal of the game with a header on the hour mark. Motherwell's Jack Vale received a red card for a high boot, causing a degree of pain for Jack McKenzie. Despite creating multiple chances, Aberdeen left the game on edge until the final whistle. The win moves us 1 point ahead of Motherwell, with both teams benefiting from losses by Ross County and St Johnston.
A really important 3 points, an impressive victory over Motherwell. What pleased you most about that display today?
3 points and a clean sheet. First half, slow, not punching in between the lines quick enough. Looked a wee bit tired. Maybe that's the effect from Saturday. Which I try to play down during the week with the players, but you could see that affected him a little bit. But overall, I think we deserved the win.
How impressed were you with Dante Polvara? He was given a Red TV Player of the Match award. I thought he was excellent in commanding those difficult midfield areas where it was really congested at times.
No, Dante's a good player. He still needs to learn. He's to tidy up. He's one and two touch passing at times. But no, when he settled into the game, he was effective, punching the ball between the lines, driving forward, had a good left foot shot in the first half. But Dante's a real asset for us.
A goal from a set piece, another header, as it was last weekend as well. How important are those opportunities for you?
Yeah, they're huge. Set plays are huge, for and against. We defended well as well. But overall, I thought we deserved the win. We had to be patient at times when obviously we went down to 10 men and keep the ball. But at times, we were still making silly, forceful passes. We didn't need to. But no, overall, I'm delighted.
You touched a little bit on the distribution. That was something that Clint, your women's player, women's team counterpart, mentioned on commentary as well. Particularly when Motherwell went down to 10, it felt like sometimes passes were forced when they didn't need to be. Maybe players a little bit too keen to try and exploit that space a little bit too fast. Is that something you've spoken to the team about?
Yeah, definitely. I think we all know when you get 10 men, don't force it, keep the ball. And then when they do jump, then you play through. But I just thought at times we were forcing it and didn't need to force it. But listen, we could have scored more on the end there.
Is that the lingering frustration? I don't want to be too negative in this interview because it is an important win and it was a dominant win in the end, even if it was a one-goal win. But is that a slight frustration that you didn't put it to bed earlier?
A little bit, but if you said to me before the game, 3 points, 1-0-1, I'll take that all day long.
Results elsewhere have been positive for you in terms of the teams below you, St Johnston and Ross County, both being turned over at home today. How do you harness this momentum now and kick on and try and make it as positive and as high an ending to the season as you can?
We had a chat last week, but since I've come in, to be honest, we want to finish high as possible. We've got to keep going. There's no point in looking back. I want to finish seventh. So the boys know that, and we'll go again next week.
Peter, good man. Thanks for your time.
Cheers.
Catch live audio and video of our next match only on Red TV. Subscribe now for full match day coverage, replays, highlights and all the goals, exclusive interviews and behind the scenes content. Sign up now at redtv.afc.co.uk. The best of the action only on Red TV.
Elsewhere at the weekend, it finished 0-0 between Kilmarnock and Hearts at Rugby Park in the only Premiership Top 6 game on Saturday. Hibs beat St Johnstone 3-1 at McDermott Park. Bottom club Livingston defeated 11th place Ross County 2-0 at the Tony Macaroni Arena. Queen's Park moved out of the relegation zone in the Championship thanks to a 5-0 win over relegated Arbroath at Gayfield. Inverness Carlow Thistle dropped to 9th spot after a 1-0 draw with Dunfermline Athletic at East End Park. Partick Thistle drew 0-0 with Ayr United at Firhill, and it was also 0-0 between Morton and Raith Rovers at Capello. Montrose booked a playoff place in League One with a 2-0 win over Kyalty Hearts at Nude Central Park, while Cove Rangers' top four hopes were ended by a 2-0 loss at Queen of the South. Hamilton Accies won 1-0 at Alloa Athletic. With the sides set to meet again in the playoffs, champions Falkirk were pegged back for a 3-all draw with Annan Athletic at Gala Bank, while Stirling Albion won 3-1 away to relegated Edinburgh City. Stenhouse Muir were presented with their League Two trophy at Oakleview after their 1-0 draw with Bonnyrigg Rose, who are now effectively safe. Clyde beat East Fife 1-0 at New Douglas Park to leave Stranraer 2 points adrift at the bottom following their 2-0 defeat at Forfar Athletic. Playoff-bound pair, the Spartans and Peterhead drew 2-all at Ainslie Park, and that was also the score between Dumbarton and Elgin City. A bit of drama in the Highland League through the week. Backy Thistle's playoff against East Kilbride has been cancelled due to the club's failure to meet the SFA club licence criteria. Backy Thistle expressed shock and devastation at the decision, emphasising their efforts to comply with the licensing requirements and their disappointment at missing the promotion opportunity. The Scottish FA clarified that Backy Thistle did not meet the bronze level licence requirements, leading to their ineligibility for the Pyramid playoff. The SPFL expressed sympathy for Backy Thistle but stated that they had to enforce the rules as the club did not respond to follow-up letters nor apply for a period of grace by the deadline. East Kilbride will proceed to the Cinch 2 League 2 playoff final. In the final games of the season in the Highland League on Wednesday night, Brora Rangers were 1-0 winners against Wick Academy. And last couple of games on Saturday saw Brora Rangers win 4-2 against Tariff United and Wick Academy win 4-0 away to Keith. On Sunday in the Premiership in a tight match in Paisley, Rangers won 2-1 away to St Mirren in the lunchtime kickoff, and it was the same scoreline in the 3 p.m. kickoff, Celtic winning 2-1 at Dens Park against Dundee.
Couldn't help but notice your bust on the desk.
You heard any funny noises coming from in there?
And we had front row seats.
If you hear this door open, I'd hide if I were you.
Just tell me what you want.
I don't know where to begin.
Let me out!
For one final time, Inside Number 9 returns for its final ever series from 8th of May on BBC Two and BBC iPlayer. Let's catch up with the week's news then. And three clinical finishes in the first half were enough to send Aberdeen under-18s to victory against a good Hibs side at Cormac Park on Friday afternoon. But a challenging second half meant they were made to work for it. Cammy Wilson got the ball rolling with his opener after 10 minutes before Fraser Mackie doubled at advantage just 60 seconds later. Fletcher Boyd rounded out the Dons scoring after 22 minutes when he headed home, the game ending 3-1 to the Dons. All roads now lead to Hampden for the under-18s. Next up, the Youth Cup final on May the 1st. The 2023-24 Aberdeen FC Player of the Year Awards were held at the P&J Live on Thursday evening. Both the men's and women's awards were handed out on the night, with over 1,000 people in attendance in the largest banquet dinner ever held at the venue. The 10 award winners were Aberdeen FC Community Trust Supporter Award, which recognises the outstanding contribution by an individual, group or organisation in support of the Trust vision, went to all the AFC CT volunteers. The Men's Development Player of the Year was won by Alfie Bavage. Alfie has won this award for the second year in a row. The Women's Young Player of the Year was won by Maddie Finney, and Jack McKenzie picked up the Men's Young Player of the Year award as well. The Aberdeen players selected Bowen Majoski for the Men's Players Player of the Year award, and Ailey Shore for the fourth year running was selected for the Women's Players Player of the Year award as well. The women's goal of the season went to Hannah Stewart for her brilliant strike from distance against Spartans, and Argus MacDonald picked up the men's goal of the season for his long-range strike against HJK Helsinki in the Europa Conference League. The women's player of the year, picked by Aberdeen supporters, went to Bailey Hutchison, and Boyan Majoski won the men's player of the year award. Congratulations to all the award winners. And ahead of our final fixture of the season, the club asks all Dons supporters to take a moment to pay our respects to all members of the Dons family who have sadly passed away throughout this season. The intention is to make this an annual event at the end of each season, delivered by official club partners Berriedale. with all fans being given the opportunity to submit the names of loved ones who are sadly no longer with us. Supporters will be remembered at Pittodrie on Wednesday the 15th of May when Aberdeen face Livingston with a 7:45pm kickoff. In preparation, supporters are now invited to submit names of friends and family members who have passed, and their names will appear in a dedicated page of the Red Matchday programme as well as on the LED screens around the stadium in the moment of remembrance. Supporters are asked to complete an online form on the club website with the names of loved ones they wish to be remembered on the day, and you have until the 1st of May to submit the form. And finally, Feyenoord are reportedly lining up a summer swoop for Bojan Miloski. The North Macedonian international has scored 24 goals for the Dons this season, and reports in his home country say Feyenoord are interested in the Dons striker. The Dons are keen to keep Bojan to support Jimmy Tillin's first season in charge, with the new Dons boss due to start on a three-year contract on the 3rd of June. The Dons player himself has said he is in no rush to leave Pittodrie.
Can I ask you a question?
When was the last time you did something for yourself without the kids?
No, I had a mammogram last week.
It's been 6 years since we adopted our two children, and parenting hasn't got any easier.
Happy Mother's Day!
Morning.
Your dad had something in his eye.
OK, so, Tyler.
He's OK. I mean, he never gets picked. I'm going to start a football team for Tyler and for all the kids that don't fit in.
I lose it and people get in my face.
Noted. And Princess?
She seems a bit up and down at the minute.
Have you been playing around with the thermostat?
You got me. Sometimes I get friends over. We just can't tear ourselves away from the thermostat.
Well, it's nice that they take an interest.
If you ever need someone to talk to, I've got a shockingly bad memory and very few friends.
My mum left when I was 5. I just want to find her.
Why now? After all this time?
I have things I need to ask her. Everything in life is so much more difficult than it looks on TV.
Look, life might not always be an even playing field, but we can get through anything together if we just keep talking.
Oh, if Karen calls, I'm not speaking to her, and neither are you.
That's the spirit, yeah. Exactly.
Six years post-adoption and nothing has got it easier. All they can do is try. Trying Season 4 releases May 22nd on Apple TV+. Aberdeen under-18s will take on Rangers in the SFA Youth Cup final at Hampden on Wednesday in the 7:05 kick-off in the evening. You can watch the match live on the BBC Scotland channel. The night before, Aberdeen women are in action at Pittodrie to face Montrose in the 7:30pm kick-off on Tuesday evening. Tickets for the match are still on sale. You can order these online at afc.co.uk/e-tickets. Tickets are priced £8 for adults. If you have a season ticket or an AberDNA member, this reduces to £6. Under-16s are free of charge. On Saturday, the men's team face St Johnstone in the 3pm kickoff at Pittodrie in the Premiership. Tickets for this match are also on sale online at afc.co.uk/e-tickets, over the phone on 01224 63 1903, or in person at the Pittodrie ticket office. If you can't make it to the game, it will be shown live on Red TV International. Audio only in the UK and Ireland. Coverage starts at 2:45pm. Elsewhere in the Premiership at the weekend, on Saturday it's Celtic versus Hearts, Mirren are away to Dundee, Motherwell are at home to Livingston, and it's Ross County versus Hibs, all 3pm kickoffs. And on Sunday it's a lunchtime kickoff between Rangers and Kilmarnock at 1pm. Tickets for our away match against Hibs on Sunday the 12th of May go on general sale tomorrow afternoon online at afc.co.uk/e-tickets from 5pm. Tickets are priced adults £34, over 65s and students £20, under 18s £16, under 13s £12, and caterers go free of charge. You can also purchase tickets over the phone or by visiting the Pittodrie ticket office from 9:30am on Tuesday morning. I'll be back next Sunday with another roundup of Dons news. You can keep up to date with the latest score updates and match stats from the St Johnstone match this coming Saturday on our social media at AFC Donscast or on the website at afcdonscast.co.uk. If you're heading to Pittodrie on Saturday, safe travels and enjoy the match. Meantime, have a great week and thanks for listening. Stand free.
All your latest Dons news.
This is the AFC Dons Cast.